Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us on the broadcast. We're looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. We're going to be talking about the events that have recently taken place in Nashville, Tennessee, where a LGBTQ sodomite perverted mind individual, 28 years old, walked in and shot the glass out, entered into the church school building, killed six people. And yet we find the Department of Justice, Merrick Garland, refusing to even consider it as a hate crime. Let me just say this. If that individual had been wearing a MAGA hat, all of a sudden it would have been a hate crime. And one of the nexus that we find in the past five, six or more of these mass shootings, they were individuals that were, in fact, I can go back to all of the mass shootings and show you that the overwhelming majority, if not all, of the individual perpetrators were on psychotropic drugs of some kind, either prescribed or otherwise, and find that the last five, six, or seven of these mass shootings that came out of the LGBTQ sodomite lifestyle background that was all sequestered from the public. The news did not want to say it. Right now, the news media is drawing in their horns. Many of the articles, by the way, this is a little footnote where we're going. Many of the articles that I pulled offline yesterday on major news sources in relationship to the background and the lifestyle of this mass murderer in Nashville, as of this morning, they've been taken offline because most all had gotten into the groove of identifying the 28-year-old as a transsexual. And as a result of that, all of a sudden, they're putting on the brakes, reversing course, and trying to cover and mitigate the murder. It is not a mass murder in the minds and the hearts of most of the media today. It's simply a bad gun. It is gun control that's needed. So we'll talk about it today, ladies and gentlemen, using the issue, calling it going into the reprobate mind. God's word in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 and following, in particular, chapter 1, verse 24 and following, the Bible talks about the reprobate mind. In fact, in the 28th verse, and even they that did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not convenient, not moral, not ethical, not good. So we'll talk about that. What is a reprobate mind? What does a reprobate mind do? I believe we're looking into the window of a reprobate mind in this shooting. I'll be talking about that today. We'd be delighted to have your input, dialogue, and discussion on it. I am very proud of the law enforcement there in Nashville and the superb, superb job they did. 4 minutes after getting on site at the school, 4 minutes after entering the building, they had neutralized the mass shooter and had settled the issue for the moment. So let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917. That's 904-831-0917. And let me remind you also, as we look at the issue, this issue today and each and every issue every day on this broadcast, we look at it from a central biblicist worldview. What does the Bible say? It is the truth book. In John 8:31 and 32, as the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, truth is found in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. You won't find it on the Communist Network News. You certainly not find truth when it comes to issues that we're talking about today with the mass murder of six people in Nashville, Tennessee, by perverted, God-hating, Christ-rejecting, church-rebelled-against, if you will, mindset that we see the end result of sin that's permeating our society today. In fact, when you look at the values in our nation today, values in all elements about community, about religion, about neighborly love, et cetera, you find those values have plummeted in the past 10 years dramatically. So when we look at issues and we talk about truth, we need to go back to the truth book. What does the Word of God say? In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. John 17:17, the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that I commend to you. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. In fact, in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Scripture says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. The truth of the Lord is not something that's here today and gone tomorrow. It endures forever. It's everlasting. But yet we find those that want to pervert the truth, reject the truth, undermine the truth, demean the truth. In fact, it goes back to the Orwellian position. George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, said, further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be factual today. In fact, there was an article about this shooting yesterday on Christian Broadcasting Network. I pulled up to read that article and to print that article off this morning, and it says this article is no longer to be found. Why? Because it talked about the issue of the shooting in Nashville from a biblical worldview of what is taking place and what promulgated the situation. It's truth that we're missing today. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said, and in fact, a major headline, DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, it is the death of truth that's bringing about the things that we're seeing as the mass murder by a LGBTQ sodomite agenda that was carried out in Nashville, Tennessee. Ladies and gentlemen, the younger age group in our nation, I'm saddened to say, I'm saddened to know it, to realize that the millennials, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, are moving into leadership roles in government, in our communities, in our cities, in our states, and in our religious organizations, Christian churches, and other religious organizations. And yet it's the millennials. The latest survey says 55% of Americans, that is the 55% of Americans, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say, and I quote, each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no such thing as your version, my version, and yet both versions are called truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I believe that's what God calls on every child of God, every Christian, to stand on the truth, to love the truth, live the truth, defend the truth. And I believe we're getting closer and closer in that day and age, that era, when our lives will be in the crosshairs of the enemy's weapons if we stand for truth and tell the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, ladies and gentlemen. There's a gigantic benchmark, 165-foot flagpole, with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Ladies and gentlemen, at the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take just a few moments to give a little further introduction of where we're going. Then we'll start taking our first callers. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, our hearts are breaking today. Listen, I am saddened for the families that now have the brokenness in the home, the loss of a child, the loss of a husband or a wife, three individuals that were children and three adults killed. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a sad, sad scenario when we find this taking place in our nation today. We need to pray for the families. Pray for the pastor that just lost his little girl. And I believe, let me just tuck this in, this shooting wasn't random. This shooting wasn't arbitrary and capricious. This shooting was focused and targeted. I've got about two dozen articles before me that I have had the privilege of going through, reading, analyzing, looking at. And I believe it's a general consensus by the Nashville Police Department and those that have investigated thus far that this was a targeted shooting. It was targeted toward Christians. It was targeted toward the church. It was targeted in particular against the pastor and the director of that Christian school. Ladies and gentlemen, pray for the church, pray for the school, pray for the pastor, pray for the families that have lost loved ones. I am heartbroken with what I feel for them that is taking place today. And all of this rampage and murder of four individuals and others, two others, total of six individuals. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you that these children had parents. They had brothers and sisters. They have family that loves them. This 28-year-old transsexual female wannabe male carried out the rampage. The video footage shows an excellent, excellent job by the Nashville Police Department. From the time of arrival at the scene, they had neutralized the LGBTQ mass murderer in about 4 minutes. Let me read one headline and a brief statement on it, and we'll take our callers. Nashville school shooter identified by officials as a 28-year-old former student. Three children and three adult staff members at a private elementary school in Nashville, Tennessee, were fatally shot March the 27th after a 28-year-old former student at the school opened fire inside the building, according to officials. Police Chief John Drake said that Hale, that's the LGBTQ sodomite shooter, Hale did identify as transsexual during a press conference on the 27th of March. Police are working through a manifesto, hear me, a manifesto as well as a map drawn out with plans for the shooting. He said theory to the shooting might be related, released later. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, the police department already know the theory behind it. They already know the rationale behind it. There's a manifesto that now political pressure from some area, hear me, political pressure from some area has forced the police department now to withdraw on their initial statement that they would publish the manifesto from the shooter. There's a reason behind that, and we'll talk about the potential reasoning as I see it, that they have sequestered that and now saying they may not even publish the manifesto. I believe they should. I believe that there ought to be pressure brought by the Christian community in Nashville for them to release the total manifesto from the shooter, that there might be an understanding and reasoning behind it. I believe we know the reason, and I'll talk about that on this broadcast. I believe I have Jim on the line. Jim, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing good. That's the section I was going to bring up there, that they're not publishing that manifesto, and they actually should. I mean, it's a treasure trove as to what was going on inside this woman's mind prior to her rampage. If she went to school there, I had heard that she had targeted other areas there, but this was the softest target for her.
That's one of the rationales that's going around. In fact, I have two or three major articles on that she had gone to a mall, shopping mall, and found if she planned on shooting everybody in there, and found that there was too much security. And it goes back, it redounds to a major, major problem in that churches and schools generally are viewed as soft targets. Well, I've told folks many, many times, churches need to put signs up that we are armed and ready. Come on in. But somebody feel that somehow, some way, you ought not to have a gun in church. You ought not to think about bad things happening in a church. And we need to understand that bad things happen in churches and Christian schools. I think what took place, because the law enforcement in Nashville said that she had maps drawn out as to where she was going. She was planning on making a circuit of shootings of soft targets, and realized that the other targets that she had in mind were too secured, and so decided to go to the next thing on the list. This church, this school, this place that she formerly had gone to school was on her target list. Make no mistake about that. This was on the target list, according to the law enforcement, the reports that I have read in relationship to it. This article says the chief further confirmed the existence of a manifesto and other documentation, and said police are investigating whether Hale's transgender identity played into the shooting plot, end quote.
Well, you know, if you look at if you just look at the gender dysphoria, the statistics on it, you know, they have a high rate of suicide. I do believe, you know, they want to normalize this behavior, but I don't believe that it is normal in any shape, way, or form.
You know, well, it's not normal, and the Bible condemns it. Sin in the Scripture that God destroyed two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, and all the plains round about, according to Genesis chapter 19, beginning with about verse 22, 23, 24, and 25 in the 19th chapter of Genesis. This shooting took place out of a heart of rage, out of a heart of anger, out of a heart of displeasure, because when you study the total background, and there's still a lot to be learned, but the total background that is encompassing what we now know in the totality of it, her mother and dad were, quote, the writings of the article just simply say they were very religious people. One of the articles also stated that she and her family were already having arguments and fights about her sexual lifestyle. She had been to that school. And I'm sure that as Christian school, the pastor would have chapel and would preach and teach against the homosexual lifestyle. I'm sure that that was the policy of the school, that homosexuality, a lifestyle of lesbianism, a lifestyle of being a sodomite, were all condemned in the messages of the school and from the pastor. This is the reason, I believe, Jim, that these people were targeted. It wasn't just coincidental, in my opinion, that the pastor's daughter, little girl, was killed. It wasn't just coincidental that the headmaster, the lady that was the headmaster of the school, was killed. It was because they were those that she recognized and had in her heart as being angry against because of their stand against what she was doing in her immoral, unholy, ungodly lifestyle. I believe that's the bottom line.
Yes, sir. Well, at minimum, they would have told her of the love of Christ and his sacrifice for us as a sinner. And that should have had a profound effect on her, you know, because if she would have accepted Christ, this would not have happened. I mean, this is purely the actions of somebody that had evil and destruction on their mind, first and foremost, and not Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Well, Jim, I'll talk about it a little more in detail in this broadcast today. But are you familiar with the fact that across the nation, some several hundred thousand Twitter messages had gone out rallying the sodomites across America to have a day of vengeance. I'm looking at an article that says Nashville Christian school shooter identified as transgender, according to the police. Authorities have confirmed that the 28-year-old woman who killed six people, including three children, at a Christian school in Nashville was transgender and identified as a man. The tragedy occurs, listen, just days before a national planned day of vengeance by the transgender activists in Washington, D.C., planned for March the 31st through April the 2nd, which has been raising money for firearms training for the transsexual individuals. Police said the tragedy was a targeted attack and that the shooter was a former student at the Covenant School, a private Christian school. And he goes on to talk about the day of vengeance and what was planned, et cetera, et cetera. So I think this perverted, twisted, ungodly, unholy, demonically inclined mind decided I'm going to get a jump on the nation's day of vengeance. I'm going to take my vengeance out now. And I believe that was the whole thing. I believe with everything there is in me, Jim, that if and when the manifesto is revealed, you will find that what I am saying is factual, that it was in the mindset that there was going to be a day of revenge. And so therefore I, speaking for this transsexual LGBTQ sodomite mind, 28-year-old, that it was a wannabe man, decided I'm going to take my vengeance out on this school, this preacher, this church, this pastor now. I'm not going to wait until the day of vengeance where everybody gets in. She wanted that spotlight. In fact, had tweeted or texted her a friend of hers that said, I'm going to do something today. I'm going to die today. I will be on the news today. I'm going to die today. And then the word got out that this person was in a state of desperation, was in a state of decline, was under a care of some counselor because of a death wish, that wanted to commit suicide, et cetera, et cetera. Well, you'll find, as you touched on earlier, Jim, that those in the LGBTQ sodomite lifestyle, there's a 40% higher rate of suicide than in the normal human population in America. This individual wanted to die because I am convinced that it was the work of the Holy Spirit of God that was convicting of sin, and it was the demonic spirit within her that wanted her not to turn from the sin, and as a result of that, in a state of depression, and wanted to die, but wanted to take her vengeance out on those that had tried to impact her life with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's my position.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's that Bible verse that says that man does know the difference between right and wrong? I know it's in there. I just can't recall it off the top of my head there, that even though we might think that we're doing what's right in our own mind, there's something inside of us that will always convict us. I mean, obviously,
Romans chapter 1 is a good illustration of that, that we can just look and see the creation of God and know that God created it. And as a result of that, it says that many have turned away, and I'm paraphrasing, turned away and want to do their own thing, go their own way, rather than allowing God to be the director in their lives. It is a fact. Let me just read verse 18 of chapter 1 in the Roman text, where the scripture says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, against all unrighteousness of men, and hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God had showed it unto them." It goes on to talk about the invisible things that God has created, and those things that God has created that's visible, all prove the handiwork that are the handiwork of God, prove that God exists. Yet man said no to God. Man's decision is, I'm going to do my own thing, go my own way, regardless of what God's word says. And that goes back to a factor, Jim, that I believe plays into this. Looking at a headline that says, traditional values like patriotism, religion, and community have plummeted dramatically among Americans, according to the latest poll. In fact, it goes into great detail of a comparison today with going back to about 1999 and what the statistical data shows. In fact, when it comes down to the poll that shows, quote, religion in America, it dropped from some 70% in 1999 to only 39% today that believe religion plays a part in their lives. So that's the bottom line of where what we're seeing the end result of, Jim. And it is a sad scenario. And again, as I said earlier, my heart breaks for those that now are trying to put the pieces back together with a lost loved one and the tragedy that took place. And, Jim, I don't know about you. I'd love to hear your take on it. They're saying, in fact, on CBN, Christian Broadcast Network, this morning, one of the main anchors there was saying that we needed to have some because this person bought 7 weapons legally. Now, we don't know what period of time it was over. It could have been months, days, or years, but had 7 legally owned weapons. And the mantra from that broadcast network this morning says there should have been some way that there could have been a check and find out if that person was under a doctor's care, under medical care, or whether that person had psychiatric problems or psychological problems, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I disagree with that totally. If the guns were bought legally, if the background check was done legally, and it was, and they bought the weapons, I don't want to go in and buy a weapon and I've got to wait until they call my doctor or get a written report from my doctor that says that he's not crazy. I think that the red flag laws are unwarranted across the nation. I think they're very dangerous. They're infringing on our First Amendment right, our Second Amendment right, and it ought not to be. But that was the mantra and the push. It's looking at, again, the wrong focus on the spectrum of what is happening. It's not the weapon's fault. The weapon is not a dangerous thing. A weapon is something that's in the hand of a perverted, twisted, evil mind is a very dangerous thing. In the hand of one that's wanting to protect himself and his family, it's a good thing. What is your take on that?
Well, my take is like this. And I'm going to bring this back to the Bible there. God's the creator of the universe, creator of man, creator of woman there. We as the creation cannot look at the creator. We can ask him what our purpose is, but we can't ask him why he made us. And then it goes on to talk about the potter with the clay pot. The clay mm-hmm. pot doesn't tell the potter, why did you make me this way? You're blaming the tool instead of the individual, the one that created, or in this case, did this act of violence there. There's millions of handguns and long rifles out here in the hands of citizens that are very responsible. I'm one of those citizens there. I've had guns for decades that have absolutely done nothing but sit inside of a cabinet and shot no one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't agree with the politicization there, and I don't agree with the argument that it's the weapon or that it is. If you take the other inverse of it there, where do you stop on the background check and what qualifies an individual who may be of sound mind today, but tomorrow may harbor some kind of evil inside of him? So you can't go down that slippery slope because all man is evil if you look at it, you know, biblically. And it's that degree gives politicians and those that want to take from you more power.
Yes. In fact, you touched on it in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? So it's a wicked, wicked heart. It's a sinful heart. And with that sinful heart, anything is possible. But at the same time, you cannot take that approach and set from the standpoint of saying, well, everybody's going to do something bad, so we need to just restrict weapons. Joe Biden would have that. In fact, that's the first thing that Biden and the whole Biden family cabal and the loose, lax, lost liberals on the left want to take away the handguns, the weapons. Jim, we're on a hard break for the top of the hour news, but thank you so much for your call and for your input. Looking forward to what God is going to say and do in the future as we stand for him and keep looking up, knowing that our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, hang on there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.